You've been scouting players all season long. You've been studying these teams for months. Put that knowledge to the test every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you could start the season by winning $2 million in 1 week. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, play when you want. Choose the players that you want. You've never experienced football like this, guys. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. It's fantasy football time. Go over to DraftKings.com. Welcome to the big leagues. A few preseason games to go before the regular season kicks off, so hurry over to DraftKings.com. Use promo code CHAIL to play for free and win your share of $10 million given away in 1 week. Enter CHAIL for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Now, let's start the show.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday. We meet again. And I'm glad that you're all here. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to have the world champion, Joe Warren, Greco-Roman wrestling world champion. He's also got the Bellator belt right now. We're going to have Anthony Rumble Johnson, who's got a big fight in just a couple of days against Jimmy Minowa. I'm going to check in with Rumble, find out where his weight is at, find out how his training went. He's got a couple of guys on his team with some fights coming up. Michael Johnson just got one announced. Rashad's got Bader, Vitor's got Henderson. A lot going on out there at the Black Zillions. And I'm going to get all the scoop. This is going to be a lot of fun, man. Big stuff going on in the news. Trump pulls ahead once again. Once again, Donald Trump has moved forward. Everybody waiting for him to fall off the cliff. It's just not happening. It's just not happening. He used the term anchor baby. I've never heard that term before, but I get it. I know what it means. Jeb Bush then used that term. Jeb Bush got in all sorts of trouble for it, and Trump did not. That's interesting. How does the guy that started the term get away with it, but the guy that come along later using the term ends up in trouble? From a psychology standpoint, I think that that's interesting. I want to get right into it. We got a fun day today. I got a lot to discuss with these guys. Joe Warren will be calling in just a moment. I'm going to tell you guys right now how to get your weekends back. You know the old way of buying a car? Here's the old way, guys. You go find an ad, you fall in love with a car, you look up the Blue Book price, you walk to the closest dealership, you expect to get a deal. 6 hours later, you drive away in a stripped-down version of the car that you wanted, and you got twice the monthly payment. The old way stinks. Thankfully, there's a new way, and it's called TrueCar, and it's free. Download the app. Download the TrueCar app. If you're not into apps, go to the website, TrueCar.com. Type in the car that you want. Make, model, year, color. Anything you want on it, power seats, CD player, special audio, go build your car. Type in your zip code. They will tell you exactly what other people in your area paid for that car. You print it off. You take that to a TrueCar certified dealership. There's 10,000 in this country. This is very easy to find a TrueCar dealership. Very easy. And you show them the certificate. They will honor it. They will honor that price, and it saves people over $3,000 on average, over $3,000 off the MSRP. and it gets your weekend back. You walk in, you show them the cert, you walk out, no haggling, no dealing with the salesman. More time to do free things on the weekend. More time to watch fights, to watch football, to listen to this show, to hang out with your family. It's free, no hassles, no headaches, no overpriced, stripped-down models. Next time you're buying a car, visit TrueCar.com or do it on your phone with the easy-to-use TrueCar app. Start saving money today. TrueCar. Never overpay.
All right, DraftKings number one.
DraftKings Ultimate Fantasy Podcast.
Hey, it's John Kincaid. We wanted to put together the DraftKings Ultimate Fantasy Podcast, and we wanted to make it sound different. We've got the latest in sports news. We've got plenty of conversation with the fantasy experts you want to hear from. We'll even have some celebrity guests dropping by. It won't be us droning on giving you numbers. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's fast-paced. It's from DraftKings.
Check out our first episode just in time for football season right now at podcast1.com.
We are back, and I am joined by the world champion Joe Warren. Joe, what's happening?
Thanks for having me, buddy. Nice to be on your show. Everything's good.
I'm pumped you are. Now, where are you at? Are you in Colorado?
Yep, I'm actually sitting outside of practice. I see Chris Camozzi, Brian Harper, Foster, and those guys running around in there right now.
Do you go over to the training center and get workouts still?
Yeah, Tuesday and Thursdays. I've been going over and rolling with the Greco guys and helping that junior freestyle team get ready.
Okay, and is that a new thing just because the juniors are coming up, or do you go in there and just train with
I have stayed away for a little bit, but in the last month and a half, I'm fighting Elsie Davis September 25th. Live on Spike in that Bellator cage, and he's an ex-wrestler. So I just kind of got back into rolling with the wrestlers a little bit. And, Tuesday and Thursday, always nice to go into the Olympic Training Center and roll with those Greco studs.
And Joe, when you're fighting Elsie Davis, is that the show out of San Jose?
No, the show will be the weekend after San Jose. It'll be down in South Padre, South Texas. It's called Hidalgo, Texas. State Farm Arena down there. New market.
Okay. Well, that's got to be pretty exciting for you in Bellator. I mean, you know, you were one of the guys that were kind of in on the ground floor, if you will. And what Coker has done, particularly in terms of production, I mean, my God, it's through the roof.
Yeah, he changed it up. I mean, the one thing I've always said with Bellator, you know, I've been there since the beginning, is it gets bigger every show. I mean, every show something gets a little bigger. I like to say it's where the cool kids fight because it's a little bit of a party every time they have these big fights. Everyone's real excited. A lot of money behind us with Viacom and Spike, and it's you know, I've been with them for a long time, so it's nice to see them now growing to where, you know, they put that time in and now they're getting there.
So, okay, so let's back up a little bit here. So as far as the Olympic Training Center goes, and your take, and your opinion matters more than most. Your opinion is top five in this country when it comes to Greco. You've earned that right. How is it working out? They've done a coaching change. Matt Lindland has taken over. How's he doing?
Well, you know, Matt, me and Matt's always had, butt heads, and he's really kind of been more open-minded to changing the training and doing what it takes to win, and it's nice. I mean, Matt's been a great coach. I've been in there helping the guys with technique. Me and Bob Forster have been in there trying to change the mindset of these old wrestlers to, you know, less is more, and that we overtrain our athletes, and if we can keep them peak physical condition going into these Olympics or these other world championships, we'll definitely win. We usually overtrain our athletes to the point, you know, where we can't compete. So it's nice to go back in there. The wrestling room's been packed for the last month because the world's coming up and all the juniors. And it looked like kind of back to normal when we used to go there. It was sad for a while when I was going in there. There was only like six people. So looks like it's making the turnaround. I've been there to help, and, you know, we'd always like to see our old team do well, so I'm just hoping they put it together here.
Now, one of the things that Matt is doing that wasn't done in the previous eras is he's recruiting. He's going out. He's encouraging guys to do Greco. He's flying out. He's sitting down in their living rooms with their moms and dads and telling them why to do Greco, and he's had a large level of success. I mean, Mason Manville pops out right away. I don't know where Manville will stay or not, or where he's going to go. But the point is, you know, Matt did talk one of the biggest high school stars in the country out of foregoing a year and pursuing Greco. That's effective. That's a good sign of a good ability to recruit. But here's my question, Joe. When you do something like that, when you begin to recruit against the same field as freestyle, for example, people want him to go after David Taylor. They want him to go after Kyle Dake. When you cannibalize one sport to make yours stronger, is that the way to go? Or does he need to go to 9- and 10-year-old kids and convince them to come in? Is it right to go to the freestyle guys, to go to Bruce Burnett's guys and start pulling them over to your side? Isn't that wrestling just competing against wrestling?
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, gain a team right now that can win. You know, Greco-Roman, you know, we worked our asses off to get to where we were, and it's not that easy. So we have the talent. We just need to put people in front of them like me, like you, like Daryl Christian, people that understand technique and understand how it is to win. There is handfuls of world medalists in, you know, a 10-mile radius Olympic Training Center where we can bring that family atmosphere back and get those Greco guys. We all came out of college. We could have went and wrestled freestyle. We came and wrestled Greco. And, you know, that's just, you know, but we also won a world championship. He's doing what he can right now. Yes, I believe that the base is those 9- and 10-year-olds. That's where I spend all my time. In Apex Wrestling in Jersey, when I do help with wrestling, they have the, you know, like close to 1,000 kids in the 4 gyms. Damian Logan was a college roommate of mine, you know, 4-time champ from Jersey. He's a stud, you know, and they've got some of the best athletes in the country there. And I like to just go help them, you know, and I believe that, you know, my body attack comes from the freestyle and the collegiate mindset switched over after college. So I'm able to really have a good chemistry with those young kids and show them some technique they've never seen before, and they get really excited about Greco. And, you know, I think that's, like you said, maybe going to be our best bet, is to start making Greco in the eyes of young kids a cool thing to do. And I told Matt he's going to have a hard time doing that. You know, I mean, he's got to have someone cool when they're doing that, and I laugh at him. You know, he's recruiting these guys, and I said, we need to put a different face in front of these guys. Let me go talk to these parents.
Sure.
I said, Matt, spit that dip out and put those cowboy boots in the back of the truck and let me go talk to these parents, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, you would certainly think that's the case, but, you know,
he's such a funny
guy.
He doesn't have to change his style for any reason, and I don't want him to. I'm just saying, you know, he's in a position where he can ask some of us older guys to help. You know, and I think we can do that. I just live 15 miles away, so I almost feel like it's doing a disjustice if I don't get in there and try to help.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, you know, that being said, it's just I don't feel they want me always there. You know what I mean? I don't really sway to, you know, I know what it takes to have these guys win mentally and physically. So I come in and kind of just show them that. But there's still Momir and those guys there, and they're still trying to push. And Matt comes from that same generation that we do. So, you know, hopefully I'm always hopeful that program turns around.
So, you know, you are a world champion, a true world champion. I want to explain this for the fans because I largely have an MMA base, and whoever they put the belt around becomes a world champion. And that's the way it is.
Right.
Combat, you know, combat doesn't there's no other way to do it, you know, whether it's boxing or right. it then transition to MMA. Whoever they put the belt around is a world champion. But to have a true world champion, from your and I's mindset as wrestlers, from the time, you know, we walk into a wrestling room, for me, 9 years old, I imagine you around that same time, the world champion, there is a legitimate architecture in place. Every human being that would like to raise his hand and be contested in this atmosphere is welcome to. Over the course of 12 months, that will be whittled down. Eventually, each nation on the planet is welcome to send one representative to a designated tournament at a designated time in a designated weight class, and they will fight it out until one guy in a bracketed format is left standing. That is a true world champion. Olympic Games, exact same format. That's a true champ. That's what you did. That's what you won. When you see somebody, and I don't really want to pick on Holly Holm, but I do take issue with the fact that her resume is claiming to be a 17-time world boxing and kickboxing champion. It's not true. And even if somebody handed her a belt and said, you're the world champion, is boxing so disorganized that she wouldn't step forward and go, well, no, I'm not?
Well, yeah, I mean, that being said, I feel the same way with me. I'm a one, you know, I'm a two-time world champ, you know, or three-time world champ right now because I've won two different weights for Bellator and one in the Greco, you know, the U.S. Greco-Roman. Now, I won an interim belt, too. I mean, do you count those? I don't freaking know. You know, I count my MMA belt as one, okay? Like, that's bottom line, you know what I mean? I can keep adding them up. I don't give a shit. You know, I'd be happy to. You know, I could be like a 10-time world champ when I leave. That'd be nice for me. But between me and you, we know I won one a world title in two different weights in Bellator, one in Greco. And that being said, I mean, a lot of these boxers and Taekwondo and other things, there's like, you know, they can win a two or three world titles in 1 year. You know, and that's you know, it's tough to really put those people, you know, maybe measure them together, you know, because it's so weird with the sports, like you're saying. So I'm not really sure what Holly's been saying she is, but I know she's won a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know that she's to blame. I mean, if she goes and enters a contest and the promoter of the contest is calling it a world title, yeah, I don't know, but it's like, well, Holly, hold on. You know, you had the chance to women are contested in the Olympic Games. You didn't go through that process. You didn't
exactly.
win that process. I don't think she even entered, you know, the trial.
Yeah, I don't
that's
think people understand when we talk about world titles, what we understand. I mean, we moved to the Olympic Training Center for our life, and that's what we did, train for that. I mean, to make just the world championship team, the U.S. team in all these sports, it's one of the toughest things to do in the world. And then go over and compete against these countries, you know, that's the toughest thing. I don't think of people that have been in that circuit, the Olympic circuit, they don't understand. You know, the kind of drive and what it takes to actually be a Olympic or world champ. You know, it's just, it's something, unless you've been involved in it like we have, it's hard to really justify it.
Yeah, well, and it's a bit of like the Stolen Valor Act. You know, there was a major sacrifice.
Yep.
There was a major commitment. There is tremendous losses and ups and downs. And it, to be that world champion, you must enter that type of architecture. I guess that's all
well,
that I'm
yeah.
saying.
That being said, you know, when you move to the training center, you know, they're like, all right, you can do everything you can, you know, get these credit cards and run them up so that you can go all over the world and spend your life for 5 years trying to make a team. And for these people, these Olympians, if you know, the people listening out there, if you can sponsor these guys or help them, you know, I mean, we train as hard as we can for one competition, you know, one match, one tournament, you know, for those. So for these guys to get that, like for me to win that world title, I mean, what, there's been three U.S. guys before me ever. You know, they remember them telling me there's no way I'd win. I switched from freestyle to Greco when I moved there. I just had that arrogant attitude, like I knew I could. You know, it just was something new. And I think, you know, for us to support those Olympic athletes and help them, you know, they really put their whole life on the line, like you said. You know, they give everything they have to it. And for that's a 1% chance to go make Olympic team. It's not like it's a very easy, you know, good chance.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's quite less if you actually wanted to. Less than 1%. But so, you know, one of the things with it is this. You know, I guess this is what I would say about it. When you come into that atmosphere, you know, Joe, I'll give you an example. I was at ESPN, and if you're not football, if you're not NFL football at ESPN, you're a major step down. They like to call the guy that wins the Super Bowl the world champion. And I kind of go, no, that's not right. There's
He's
no other
the
country.
Team.
There's no other country in the world that is invited to participate in the process. So, you know, if you had a great team out of Canada, if you had a great team out of Russia playing football, they're not even welcome to be part of the process. Secondly, you don't have a great team in Canada. You don't have a great team in Russia, the Cuban. Nobody does football except the Americans. The NFL.
That's like collegiate wrestling. Only the arrogant American country that we are, we needed to change the sport of wrestling so that we could make it more controlled in a scholastic environment so that we could bring more people to it. You know, we're the only country that has collegiate wrestling. And the only reason we did is because we could see that we could monetize it put head gears, put make it into in a collegiate sport, and we did. You know
but
what I
mean? But we're also honest about it. We call those guys national champions because we understand.
We could call them a world champ, though.
You could do that, and I guess the media would get behind it. But my argument at ESPN, I just said, look, guys, not only are you not world champions, okay, what you did is an incredible thing. You won the Super Bowl. You won a national title. That's an incredible feat. But you're not a world champion. Yeah. And that's an awesome thing. But my other argument, because I had people push back and tell me how ridiculous that was to say. And I go, wait a minute. The NFL agrees with me. The NFL's very first initial is national. They call themselves the National Football League, but you, the media, right, you, the media, are calling them world champions. I had this out with Jim Rome. I said, Jim, they're not world champions. You, as the media, are calling them that. Their own organization calls them the National League. Same thing with the NBA. Very first letter.
Yeah, you're right.
National. It's like, look, if you know, we do that with Olympic teams in basketball. I think it's beyond infuriating. I think it should be tested. I think somebody should take them to court. They pick the Olympic team. They pick the biggest names. They do all this stuff. And there you've got an Olympic team. That's not the process. If there's five other guys that say, listen, our team here is confident that after four quarters we can have more points than you, then you need to have a game. You can't pick an Olympic team.
A lot of sports, you know that, at the Olympic level. I mean, the gymnastics team, they pick their team. A lot of the coaches get an opportunity to just pick the athletes that need to go. I believe some of the time it's probably would have been the best case scenario for us in the U.S. in wrestling if we would have just picked our team. Look at people like, you know, win nonstop during the year but can't make our team. But we know we could put them against these other cats, against the U.S., and they'd win. So, I mean, it's just, slippery slope any way you look at it.
No, I think it is, too. But, you know, it just comes back to my point about, you know, if you're going to come out and say you're a world champion, man, there's got to be a process. If somebody comes and walks in this podcast studio and tells me I'm the world champion, I'm going to know I'm not. I'm not going to go out and perpetuate
that. Well, I
thought
you win a world championship.
Second.
Didn't you win in Japan?
I beat the guy we rematched in the finals. They called me for legs, gave him two, and he won by two.
I tell everyone you won that tournament because in my mind, I believe you won that. So.
And I appreciate that. And that tournament looks better and better over time. You know, the University Worlds at the time that we were going, it was still kind of forming. But boy, it's formed now, man. You go out there, you want to meet all the universities.
One of the first groups that went over there and got after it, remember?
Uh-huh. And I will tell people too, you know, that I was second in the world championships because of that event. But when I'm around wrestlers, I kind of keep that under my hat because they start to raise an eyebrow.
You can throw a university world championship out there with a wrestler and he's okay with it.
He's okay, but make sure you say that word. If you just
university,
right? I've been at places, wrestling events where I was a speaker or something like that, and they've introduced me as, you know, second in the world, and I've seen the fellow wrestlers look at me, and I'm like, no, that guy left out the word university. Those aren't my words.
Yeah, and that's what I do. You know, even when I go to these wrestling events, they have all this shit on there, and I end up saying, you know, let's just drop this down to, you know, one thing. I can't guarantee all this is right, even.
Sure.
I have more U.S. Open titles than they tell me. They took a shitload of them from me. So, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all up to the person announcing.
So, you were at one point, if I'm right, were you managed by Frank Shamrock for a little bit of time?
Yep, at one point it was, you know, that went south. So,
what is Frank doing now? Is Frank involved with, I asked Coker this too, and he answered it, but I kind of got a diplomatic answer. Is he involved? Is he part of Bellator in any fashion?
No, I don't think he is. You know, we've had our disagreements and separated, and I don't know what he's doing, actually, after his stuff on Spike, the reality stuff. I don't know what they've done with him after that.
Boy, that was rough. That was bad. And I don't know that it was his fault. Randy was on that, too. I don't know if it was either of their fault. But the way that got edited and directed, and you're just going, oh, no, this is bad.
We had a lot of talent on that show, and it just they kind of ran it into the ground. It was sad for my first television run.
Oh, I see. You're talking Fight Masters. You know what I was talking was Gym Rescue. He and Randy did their...
That's the one that I think there was some problems with. I don't know. I think internal problems. So, but I never even saw it.
Yeah, well, you didn't miss much. There was only a couple of episodes, and I largely saw it like as a blooper reel where the kids put it in what's called a gift and released it onto
That's
the internet.
What it was.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, but I don't know if it was their fault. It was very clearly scripted at times. You could tell that Randy and Frank didn't really want to do it, but they had to get into character. Now, Randy can do that, but Frank's not an actor. It just didn't work, man. I was just wondering what his involvement is. There's some of these guys that were heroes in MMA at one point. And I just wonder what they're doing. You know, I had Rampage Jackson on a few weeks ago and tried to get an update on Mayhem Miller because I just wonder, you know, how does he support himself? I don't know of a gym system. I don't know of a seminars that they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, there wasn't quite enough during their careers to do. So I was just wondering. So you don't have the insight on
no
old
idea.
Frank, huh?
You know, I'd like to probably never see that man again, you know.
Things didn't go well.
Not so well.
Oh,
you know?
Well, give me some scoop. Let's get some ratings.
No scoop, nothing, you know. It was just, you know, business problems and went the other way. But, you know, I mean, I don't really know what he's doing, you know. I mean, a lot of those old fighters, I don't know how they make a living. You know, it's not easy making money, right?
Right.
You know, how do you put, I don't know. You know, because you don't see a lot of these old fighters. You know, there's maybe 1% of us fighters that actually make a living fighting. You know,
right?
And that just came around the corner in the last like few years. So the ones that were fighting back then, they didn't make that much money back then, did they?
No, they didn't. Like, you know, you use Frank's time.
Saying,
no,
I know what I have to do to just live, and I might be one of those one percenters.
Now, Joe, you've probably read about in the UFC this IV ban.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Now, are you guys subject to that? Like, is state commissions doing that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I had this question with Mark Montoya, my coach, you know, because I have used IV bags since around the Olympics just because, you know, my weight's been so good with Bob and, you know, that science-based training that really I don't need to now, so it's not a problem. But I remember a time that, I mean, remember at U.S. Open, they used to actually have USA wrestlers
right.
give you IVs?
Absolutely.
And then there was a time where they banned them so you couldn't do them at the actual event, but you could still do it.
Yeah,
so I don't know what all these rules are. Like, they can't provide the IVs for you. You can still do it, or you can't.
Well,
you know, have it provided for. I'm not sure. You know,
that's where a little of the confusion comes in. So here's my understanding, but I don't know. I was actually kind of coming to you for some clarity on this.
Right. I can ask and get you some answers.
Yeah, my understanding is so the UFC signed a deal with USADA. So USADA oversees the UFC, but I believe that is extraordinary to the rules that then the commission also invokes. So I don't believe this is a commission rule. I believe it's a UFC rule, meaning if you fought somewhere that wasn't the UFC, you would not be subject to that. But it's been a bit of a frustrating process. Number one, because there are great health reasons to an IV. IV is not an illegal substance by any means. In fact, IV isn't a substance at all. It's a form of administering, you know, fluids to a guy. And then when you start to dig into the questions, and, you know, they've got a VP out there at the UFC that's overseeing this, and he's doing some interviews, which is helpful. It's very helpful when somebody comes out and talks and educates people. But people will bring up the fact, look, when these guys are dehydrated, it's very important to get fluid and fluid to the brain. You start getting all of this medical talk. And when the VP comes out and says, well, then maybe they're cutting too much weight. You go, well, time out a second.
Point.
Yeah, that's not the point. Don't switch this argument, okay?
I mean, as an organization, I would IV my athletes so that I would have a better performance out of them the next day.
See,
you know, that's how I would see it.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have a safer participant, you know, someone that's going to put on a better show for my audience.
Yeah, and now they've also put a loophole in here, and I mean loophole in a good way, not in the usual bad sense, which is if you go to a hospital and they give you an IV, then you're okay. So now all the athlete has to do is go to the hospital with the caveat
the organization can say that they were in the hospital and that they're not going to okay them to fight.
The commission
so
can.
That's people,
right.
Isn't it?
Well, yes, and the commission then could pull the fight. That's the caveat to try to keep everybody honest here, but it's not the commission. These are two separate things, I guess I'm saying. The commission has always been okay with IV, so why would a commission pull a fight? Unless USADA's coming in and now they're telling the commissions
to
what to do.
You know, me and USADA, we don't have eye to eye. You know, and they're just out there to get our athletes. You know, we spend more money every year than the whole world does in drug testing our own athletes. when I think we should be worried about winning medals and not bringing our athletes down on stupid charges. But, you know, I think that the organization like UFC and MMA and Bellator and everybody needed to clean up, you know. So what they needed to do is get an organization like USADA to clean it up, and I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, I think that's right.
If not, they're putting a scare in everybody. So now if people are doing it, they're taking their, you know, they're risking their lives and, you know, their careers.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, the transparency is important. So it's nice that the new VP is out and doing interviews. You know, here's the example I give people. You will never meet a guy that was drinking and driving. Drinking's legal in this country and driving's legal in this country, but you can't combine them. So
exactly.
You'll never meet a guy jammed up on a DUI trip, never, ever, ever, that goes into court and goes, well, I didn't know. I didn't know I couldn't drink and then drive. Everybody knows. They've done a great job. The government's done a great job. The police force have done a great job. They've got commercials. They've got billboards. Everybody knows you can't do that. But that doesn't carry over to what USADA's doing. USADA's got all sorts of rules that nobody knows, and you can't get an audience, you can't question somebody, you can't figure
nobody
it out.
Nobody ever knows with USADA, you understand, that's their deal, okay? They will change drug testing limits in the Olympic levels and things like overnight to try to, you know, whatever. Remember, they did a lot of strange things to me, so, you know, they're cleaning the sport up, that's as much as I can pretty much say about them, you know? You know, they're more of a policing force than they are a force to help an organization.
Yeah, well, cleaning the sports up is a nice thing to say. That's a nice headline. The reality is, if you're banning things that are legal, if you're banning things that doctors are prescribing.
Yeah, I understand.
Now you're saying a guy has to choose between his health and his sport.
No,
I don't think that's legal.
The gods here. They're like officials, okay, USADA. They want to be the people that are actually controlling. They want to be the ones with the egos, you know, and that's what they're doing right now. They got in the biggest ego game there is with the UFC, and, you know, they're trying to push the, you know, flex their muscle a little bit.
So, Joe, even on the IV ban, though, everybody pushed back on this. Everybody said, no, wait a minute. What are you talking about? IV is not a substance. You guys are here to test for substances. You can't ban IVs. So they came out and they go, all right, well, let's do this. Let's give a grace period. We won't kick this in for 8 or 9 weeks, I think, which there's either 4 or 5 weeks left on that clock. And I'm sitting back going, well, that's kind of cool. You know, grace period is very helpful.
Great,
but
what does that mean?
If this is a rule, I don't know that this is a rule. I don't know where the board meeting was, where the minutes are, where the proof is that this is even a rule. They just came out with it one day. But let's just accept the fact that they do have the authority to do this. If you have that authority and you've made it a rule, with what authority do you then suspend your own rule? If it is a rule, then it's a rule. How do you kick the can down the road 8 or 9 weeks for convenience? There's got to be a rule, and we got to be able to know what they are. Even me, I've got to be able to come on this show and educate fighters and listeners and want to be athletes what the rules are. I agree, but that's a problem.
And the reason they put in these rules is so they can have loopholes around them to be able to catch the athletes that they want to catch. Understand?
Yeah. No, I do. I do, but in the athlete's defense.
I'm not talking bad about it, but I was one of those athletes that they put on their little list, remember, back in the day.
Sure.
And they got me, you know, so there's not much. And that was from changing a level of THC overnight, you know?
Right.
No one ever talks about that, but, you know.
That's my whole point here is you change it overnight. It's like the DUI guy. You know, you don't hear people coming out with this,
exactly,
I didn't know,
like,
excuse.
It's the limits. I don't know, man. You know, you talk to more people about that than I do, so.
Well, I try to do it. I do it right here. I don't know a ton about it. I know I ended up jammed up with these guys, and I'm not coming in to try to unfry that
egg.
No,
I got you.
I'm just coming out saying, listen, if other, because I get asked by guys too. They think I'm an expert on this, and so I try to learn this so I can educate them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The main thing I got to tell them is, listen, guys,
I
don't
know. There's a strict rule base from USADA on every single law that they have. They have a, you know, first offense, second offense, you know, all their offenses, and they are, they follow that guideline to the T. You know, there's no leeway in there. So, like, you know, they set up a form, like you said, and say, this is what's going to happen if you do it this time. This is what's going to happen again. And they just follow that. You know, I think so they put a little bit of justice behind, you know, the state commissions.
Right.
And I think I think that's why people say cleaning up the sport.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that's right. And if you're on the side of USADA, you are definitely on the right side of this argument. That's not my goal here, to challenge it, as opposed to, look, guys, you one failure you guys are doing. You got to have some clarity, man. We can't just read that Anderson Silva popped for three things that none of us knew were banned until you told us they were banned. Somewhere that there's got to be a list out there. I made that argument one time. I said, you know, there's got to be a list. You're telling me these things are banned, but how am I supposed to find that out? And I had a guy say, you know, he recapped what I said.
I love it. Like, remember, like, you know, the girl gets her Olympic gold medal for gymnastics taken away.
Oh, that was wrong.
4 days before, she took, like, an Advil cold and sinus.
So wrong.
She gets it to bed. Fucking kidding me? You know, like,
unbelievable.
Stuff like it. Yeah, I can't understand. You know, they worked their whole life for that stuff. So, again, they're going to be the god in there.
Right, and her fellow athletes said it was wrong. They tried to made the silver medalist.
It was the U.S. Olympic Committee's athletic trainer that gave it to her.
Yeah,
you know?
they made the silver medalist then go get on the stand and be promoted to the gold medalist, and the silver medalist refused and said, "No, I don't care that she did that. There's nothing wrong with that." And they made her take the stand. 14-year-old girl. She was in tears the whole time, and they were not tears of joy for her gold medal. She was humiliated that they were giving her a gold medal. Look, when your fellow competitors don't care that you took something, that thing shouldn't be banned.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
I'm about to get banned, Chael, because Mark, you know Mark Montoya.
Of course.
He's staring at me, telling him that I'm trying to win a world title.
Go do your thing,
you're
man.
Trying to have me talk shit.
Tell him.
It works. It works hand to hand, I told him.
Tell him I said hello, by the way.
Excellent coach right there.
All right, man. Hey, I've had it with you. So you got a fight coming up. Give us the date again.
September 25th in Hidalgo, Texas. I fight LC Davis live on Spike.
Tough guy.
And,
it's a tough fight.
Should be an awesome, baddest man putting it on again for everybody in the country, free on Spike again.
All right. Do what you do. I'll see you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Joe. You know, guys, Joe and I are sitting around talking about substances, but I'll tell you something you never have to worry about. That's the ones you get over at Onnit. Onnit is a based health and wellness company that focuses on inspiring peak performance through a combination of unique products and actionable information. Got strategies from professionals, from athletes, and from medical practitioners. Onnit has focused on creating earth-grown, nutrient-based supplements and foods, as well as unconventional fitness equipment, all based upon the latest science and research. If you go over to onnit.com/chael, onnit.com/chael. You can get 10% off all of their products right now. Some of their phenomenal products, Alpha Brain. It's a complete and balanced nootropic. It's designed to enhance focus, mental drive, and memory. In addition, it's also shown to increase vivid, even lucid dreams. Try the Onnit Warrior Bar. Guys, it's buffalo meat. It's delicious. I never tell you something's delicious when it's not. Never. Have I done that? This is delicious. It's like eating beef jerky, but it's made out of buffalo meat, guys. 140 calories, no MSG, no soy, no lactose, no nitrates, and it's gluten-free. Also, try the MCT oils. Medium chain triglycerides. They're healthy fats. They're found naturally in coconut oil. Unlike other MCT oil, Onnit MCT oil is derived 100% from pure coconut oil. These supplements are on the cutting edge of sports nutrition, and they won't get you in trouble like what Joe and I had to go through. I want to share them with you. That's why I'm telling you about it. My audience only. Only will you hear about this on your welcome. You get 10% off if you go to onnit.com/chael right now. It's simple. Head on over to Onnit. Onnit.com, onnit.com/chael. Start strengthening your mind and body today. When I come back, Anthony Rumble Johnson.
You're listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
And we're back with Rumble Johnson. Anthony, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing all right. How are you? That's the question. How's training?
I'm great. I have no complaints.
Everything's going well. Now, you got your whole team is fighting. Rashad's got a fight coming up. You got a fight coming up. Vitor's got a fight coming up. Are you guys all in the room together?
Well, my camp is, you know, basically over with. They're just kind of, you know, getting into the groove of things. So this camp was more me and Tyrone Spong and Thiago Silva and my team, you know. Rashad, you know, he's just coming back from a knee injury, so he couldn't go all out yet. And Vitor is just, I think he's just now starting his camp.
Boy, what about what they did to Thiago Silva? You know, he's getting ready to fight. He went through everything, and they pulled the carpet out from him. Man, that had to be tough.
Yeah, it was tough, you know, but, I mean, I guess that's how the dice roll.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right, and that's why you call him a fighter, because a lot of it is mental, and you got to deal with that adversity. So good for him, but, man, I did feel for him. I watched that interview. You know, I saw him over there on Inside MMA. I saw that happen. I thought, doggone it. I thought he was that close to everything getting right back on track, and now he's just got to wait a couple more months, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, Thiago would be okay. He's always in the gym. He's always working hard. He's taking care of, you know, his family, you know, his daughter and his girl. So he's good.
Now, you bring up training with Tyrone Spong. I thought he was hurt. Didn't Tyrone hurt his leg, or is he fully recovered from that?
I think he's fully, well, the way we're sparring, I think he's fully recovered. But he's good, man. He can still punch and kick, you know, he at least has one good leg. And he's definitely using it to his advantage. So Tyrone, in my opinion, is good to go right now.
Good. And everything for you is good, huh? Weight is on track?
Weight is on track.
You know, I have to ask you about your weight. There's no way that you can fight and a guy like me can't say, hey, how's your weight? You realize you deserve that question.
Oh, I get that. I get that already. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, after training, that was 218. I feel fine.
So
weight is not an issue at all. I feel great. So I wish I could fight this weekend and get it over with, but I'll take an extra week of, you know, preparation to get ready and beat somebody up.
So what the hell's going on with the weight class? So we got Gustafson's been given the title shot. I like that. I'm one of the few guys on the other side of it where, you know, he was on track, everything was going great, he got knocked out by you, but I'm not sure we should always send a guy to the end of the line because, you know, he had a bad night or got beat by a guy like you. I think he, if you're not going to rematch Daniel right away, I think he is the right guy. Where do you stand as a guy in the weight class?
Well, to me, you know, although Bader, you know, it was either going to be Bader or Gus. And I thought Bader would get the next shot just because, you know, he's been on the win streak. And I feel that he deserves it. You know what I mean? He put in the work just like I did, and I got a title shot before he did.
Sure.
You know? And, you know, but I guess, in my opinion, you know, Gus is just more exciting to watch than Bader is. You know, and fans will pay to see Daniel versus Gustafson. I think they will pay to see Daniel versus
Ryan Bader.
Ryan Bader.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I think that's right. You know, I don't want for it to happen to Bader what's happened to Michael Bisping, which is he was the top contender, no question about it. He could have been given a shot at any time, but time goes by, you get a little older, you get a loss, you stumble in the rankings a little bit, and you miss that shot. And I fear that could be what happens to him. If he can get by Rashad, the conversation probably ends. Unless John Jones comes right back, it probably does go to Bader. But, you know, that's a big task to get past Rashad.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough fight for both guys, you know, but Rashad is putting in a lot of hard work in the gym, you know, especially coming back from the knee injury that he had. I see the man in the gym working on his wrestling, hitting pads, doing his thing, just getting back in shape like he needs to. I think Rashad will be fine, but, you know, Ryan Bader is hungry. He wants a title shot. You know, he's worked hard for it, so I'm excited for the fight.
Yeah, Ryan Bader's a little bit slow. There's really no other negative critique I could give him. He is in shape. He works hard. He's a great competitor. He's got some good wins. He doesn't always get out of the way of punches, and his punches don't always land before the other guy's does. But, you know, what can he do? What can he do? If you're not fast, you're not fast.
Yeah, you're not fast. You're not fast. I mean, he's an athlete. But in my opinion, he's not that athletic. You know what I'm saying? His hard work and dedication has gotten him this far, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, it's a big difference when you go against somebody like Rashad, who works hard and he's athletic, you know. So I think that's it's a bad matchup, but once again, this is MMA. You never know what can happen. Bader's been active. Rashad hasn't. You just never know what could happen, man. I mean, I just want a good fight.
So let me ask you a serious question. Post-fight depression, even after a win, is a real thing, right? There's this major buildup. Your phone's ringing off the hook. You got media, boy, you're cutting weight. It gives you purpose. You're in and out of the gym. You got the stress of the match. Even in victory, there is definitely a down when it's over. In defeat, that gets exemplified. What was it like for you a couple of weeks after everything settled in and you lost the world title fight, man? Was that pretty hard?
The loss, you know, I took the loss seriously, but I didn't let it eat me up on the inside. You know what I mean? I've been through so much to get where I was at for a title shot. You know, I was living in the moment.
Sure.
So win, lose, draw, I was going to be living the moment and be happy for what I've accomplished so far. And don't get me wrong, I still want the title. Losing actually made me hungry. It made me want to get the title even more now. You know, but without all the phone calls and whatnot, it was actually a relief to me because I had some privacy. I didn't have the phone ringing 24/7. I had my friends and family that, you know, were checking up on me. So everything was good, you know. And it didn't get to me like it would a lot of people. It made me want to fight even more.
So did you watch Chad Mendes versus Conor McGregor?
Yes, I wish I was there, but I was at the Red Rock hosting a fight party. I wanted to be at the fight so bad.
Okay, so I got to see it as well. And here's what happened. When Chad took Conor down in the very first round, very beginning of the fight, Chad thought he was going to be able to keep him there. He thought he was going to be able to catch a breath, keep Conor there. Conor scrambled up and got away, and it really drained Chad's battery. There was like a bit of an adrenaline dump, and it was very clear to me from an outsider seeing it happen because it's happened to me. So I recognize it. Now, the reason I bring that up, in your fight with DC, when you dropped him and you sent him head over heels, there must have been a part of you that thought this fight is over, my goal is achieved, I am the world champion, even if for a split second. And that causes this thing that I'm talking about called an adrenaline dump. Did you experience that? Is my analysis right?
You know, when I dropped DC, I'm a striker and I have that killer instinct. When I hurt somebody in a fight like that, you know, it's automatically he can destroy, you know. So I went in and I hit him and he dropped and I got up. I smothered my own punches, you know what I mean? And just swinging too wild, trying to hurry up and finish the fight. I didn't stay calm like I usually do. But whenever he grabbed me, he did a good job of keeping his weight on me and making me carry his weight. And that was something I wasn't used to. So he wore me down that way. But as far as an adrenaline dump, I felt like I was in the best shape ever. But I think just for my camp, I had never had anybody make me carry their weight the way that he did.
Right.
He did a damn good job at it, you know what I'm saying, at making me carry his weight. So my hat goes off to him for that.
He did. He definitely did. And he was also very honest about it. He said, man, he hit me so hard. He kicked me so hard. He said, I was so scared that I operated with an urgency to keep my hands on him. I could not give him that space. And that was true. That was fair and true and honest. And that is what happened. He was able to smother and keep that pressure. But it was a great fight, man. I think we're going to see it again. I definitely think we're going to see it again. How did this Manawa fight come about? I mean, that he's got some balls. He's got, you know, he's a tough guy, but he's got a lot of courage. And I thought accepting this fight, I was a little surprised that it was even offered to him.
You know, the fans weren't too excited about the Jan Blachowicz fight. And, you know, neither was I, you know, and that's no disrespect to him, but he wasn't a top 10 opponent, but he did deserve a chance, just like I was given a chance whenever I fought Phil Davis. So I accepted the fight. And whenever they asked me to fight Jimmy, I was more than happy. I was like, cool, he's a top 10 opponent. He's a good striker, great competitor. Let's do it. You know, and the fans loved it. They know it'll be a stand-up war no matter what, because Jimmy's a beast. You know, his stand-up is good. He only has one loss, and that's to Alexander. So that says a lot about him, his abilities.
Oh, for sure. In his first 12 fights, not only was he undefeated, he finished every guy. I think he knocked them all out. He might have slipped a submission in, but he finished his first 12 opponents. That's incredible. That doesn't happen in MMA. Those are boxing numbers.
It doesn't, you know. So that right there, you know, he has my respect with that alone. But in my opinion, I'm just a different breed whenever it comes down to striking.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he's going to have some speed issues with you. I think he's going to have some power issues with you. But he is going to come and throw. He's going to throw them right at your face, man.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I welcome that. That's what makes me who I am, the stand-up, you know, and not giving up. Whenever I get hit, I'll hit you right back. You know what I mean? Some people get hit and they want to run away from you. Not me. You hit me, you know, if you can catch me and hit me, I'm going to land a big one on you sooner or later.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what fights are you looking forward to as a fan? Is there anything that's been announced lately where you're thinking, man, I got to see that?
Yeah, man. I'm still looking forward to the Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor fight. And they just announced today or yesterday the Junior Dos Santos and Alexander Overeem.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that, too. And I'm looking forward to my teammate, Michael Johnson, going in there and fighting against Nate Diaz. Michael has worked really hard to get in the position he's in. I've seen that kid. He was my roommate at one point. I've seen that kid struggle and look where he is now. So, you know, Michael's like one of my best guys, one of my best guy friends. You know what I mean? He's awesome. He works hard. He comes in the gym, does his thing. You know, so I'm excited to see what he can do against Nate.
You know, that his last fight took a lot of criticism, but the judging, there was two judges that saw it. I didn't get to see the fight. I got to disclose. I didn't get to see the fight. What I read is that it was a robbery, but there was two judges that saw it the same way. Did he get robbed in that fight, if you're being fair?
Oh, he definitely got robbed.
Okay.
I mean,
it was clear that he won.
The guy was hitting him with jabs, but Michael controlled the pace. He controlled the gun. He was aggressive. He did everything. You know what I'm saying? The guy just hit him with some good jabs, but overall, he didn't do anything. You know what I mean? The guy
right.
didn't do anything special to him. But that's not the guy's fault, his opponent's fault. That's Michael's fault, you know, for leaving it into the hands of the judges. You know, Dana always tells you to go out there because you know how these judges are. And, you know, that's a prime example of what can happen.
Yeah, no, that for sure. Kenny Florin had made a point when that was done, and Kenny said, you know, everybody tells us to finish these fights, to not leave it in the hands of the judges, but we should be able to. We should be able to leave it in the hands of the judges and get the fair and accurate outcome. And Kenny Florin is 500% on the mark with that comment.
Yeah, I mean, you won't be able to finish every fight. And just because you can't finish every fight doesn't mean it has to be a robbery. You know what I mean? In my opinion, when it comes down to judges, they need to get people that are retiring mixed martial artists instead of, you know, some guy that judges a, you know, Floyd Mayweather whenever he boxes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? We need
right.
to get guys that have been in the game, know the sport, and know how to judge the sport the right way, not just some guy that's been watching, you know, judging boxing for 20 years. To me, it just doesn't fit right with our sport.
Yeah, no, I agree. And these hiccups are going to exist because nothing is being done to change it. And I don't know that I offer a suggestion on what should be done. I mean, the first thing people think of is training, you know, bringing in, having the commissions take this a little bit more seriously. The downside on that is there's no money in that job. It's not a real profession. It's a hobbyist type spot. And if, you know, it's like anything else, you're going to get what you pay for.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is true.
Yeah,
you know?
That's just a reality.
Some judges are really good. You know, they actually take it seriously because they are fans of it. And in my opinion, some judges are just there because they get a check, and that's it.
Sure. Yeah, you get a great seat. You're a big fan. You get assigned to a card. You know, it's one of those things. Then breaking into that industry isn't all that easy either. You go to these commissions. It's kind of the good old boys club because you can always hang your hat on the argument of, well, he's got experience. But you miss the fact that, hey, let's get some new blood in there. You know, the sport has changed from the 90s when some of these guys first got in. You know, there's everybody likes to talk about experience, but there is definitely something to be said for a fresh perspective as well.
Yeah, I mean, and the way I see it, you know, fighters know when they've won, they know when they've lost, they know when it's up in the air because it's such a close fight. You know what I mean? Like, whenever the guy that Michael had fought against was announced the winner, even he was surprised. That lets you know that he thought he lost. You know what
For
I
sure.
mean? And but the judges still gave it to him. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's hopefully one day this whole thing gets situated.
You just said something very funny right there. You just and you made an excellent point. You said fighters know when they win, but they know when they lose. In a regular court, when you go in front of a real judge, they will always give you the opportunity to get with the other side, come to a settlement agreement. I think it might be interesting in MMA if that could happen, because I would not claim victory if I lost. I've known when I've lost a fight, and I've been given decisions before, and I've said, man, that's not right. I've lost that fight. That might be interesting, as opposed to before we throw it to the judge, if the two athletes could reach a settlement and just go, yeah, this was your night. That might be very interesting. That will never happen, but that's kind of funny to talk about.
I think you're onto something. I mean, I've seen fighters. Rampage did it. I think he did it when he fought Machida.
Yeah.
He admitted that he lost.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and you don't get fighters that will admit that they lost. The expression on their face, you can tell that they thought they lost, but they won't get on the mic and say, you know what, I lost that fight. I don't know what the judges were looking at. You know, to me, it takes a real man to say something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially right in front of the judges.
Yeah. No, that's...
You know, the judges always think they're right. You know what I mean? Because they feel that what they saw was absolutely what happened, but it's not always the case.
You're right. See, if people would listen to you and I, we just solved the problem. We just solved it for the judges. Or at least we helped. All right, Rumble, I got nothing else, man. I'm out of time. You got anything for us? Anything you want to say? Any final words to Mr. Manawa?
You know, hopefully Jimmy's healthy and ready to fight, and I hope the fans are as excited as I am, and thank you for supporting me through everything, and I look forward to next week.
Yeah, you're a beast, and I want to say one final thing, you know, because I am a fan, and I owe you a thank you for all of the entertainment, but after your last fight with Daniel Cormier, I really liked what you said to Rogan when he said, did he surprise you with anything? And you said, no, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. That was just such an honest answer, because that's true. He was going to try to take you down and smother you, and he was successful. So good for him.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm an honest guy. I tell you how it is, and if you like it, you like it, and if you don't, you don't. That's what gets me in trouble a lot. But... You know,
that'll get us all in trouble, man. You stay the way you are. We like you just fine.
I will. You know, but Daniel did his thing, man. You know, if I could have, you know, made some adjustments during the fight and stuff like that, stayed more focused, maybe the outcome would have been different. But Daniel showed the caliber of athlete he is physically and mentally, and he won the fight. There's no excuses.
Fair and square. I appreciate the sportsmanship, man, and I appreciate you. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Rumble. See you, pal.
Take care.
Well, that's it. There you have it. Everything you've ever wanted to know. All your problems have been solved. 1 week at a time. Rumble's a pretty likable guy. You read things in the media about him, but you never see him. You never see a bad Anthony Johnson. I almost think someday he's going to come out and say, you've all been played. All that stuff behind the scenes is embellished and made up, and I think he helps perpetuate it, because when you have him in person, you get a pretty genuine, down-to-earth guy. Calls it like he sees it, much like your humble host. And speaking of, you guys been over to Bad Guy Inc. yet? Check out the merchandise. Get over there and get back here. In 1 short week, I will miss you all. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.